direct our attention to this wonderful letter that we call 2 Corinthians this morning. It's a letter that's all about gospel ministry, and I hope that as a follower of Christ, you'll be encouraged in your ministry this morning. I've been praying that God will encourage you. I hope you'll leave this morning more encouraged than when you came. How many people here besides me are wearing glasses or contact lenses? At least sometimes. I mean, many, many people. I praise God for my glasses. I really do. I used to wear contact lenses too, and those just kind of became a little more irritating as I got old. I'm so grateful for the glasses that I have because it just brings clarity to my life. If I had to go through life without these, it just would be much more difficult because I wouldn't see things the way they really are. And I think in life, as believers, that's one of the challenges we face, that we don't see things the way they really are. I mean, think about this past week, past month, maybe this summer season, whatever. Think about a trial or a difficulty that you've experienced and that was really, really challenging for you. And if I were to say, what are you struggling with? I know what you would say. You would say, Greg, I'm struggling with this thing that happened. And yes, that would be a trial, whatever the struggle is. But that's not your struggle. The real struggle is not what happens to you in life. The real struggle is how you view what happens to you in life. There is no doubt in my mind that that's the case. And there is no greater example of that than the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is a guy who is experiencing all kinds of affliction. That's why he's writing this letter. He goes on a mission trip. He establishes a church. It's the church at Corinth. And that very church, some of the leaders at least, are turning against them, making false accusations against him. And he's struggling. And yet he doesn't give up. He doesn't quit ministering to people, nor certainly does he quit following the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore, we don't give up. Therefore, we don't quit. And that's the title of the message this morning. Don't quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And here's the whole focus of the message. I want to encourage all of us that we can continue to actively, joyfully follow Christ and minister to others, even when life gets difficult, even when we think about our own impending death. I think one of the challenges of life is not merely facing the, we'll call them the everyday afflictions of life, but it's realizing that time's going on and we're running out of time in this world and our health begins to fail. Disease often becomes a reality. And then we come to that place where we begin to think about our own death. I remember once talking to a young man and giving him an opportunity to help in a nursing home ministry. And he said, you know, Greg, it's not really something that I can do. And that's okay because you can't do everything. But I still remember the reason he gave me. He said, I really can't go to nursing homes. I just can't handle being in a place where everybody's dying. And I thought to myself, I'm so sad that you have lost an opportunity to minister because you are overwhelmed by the reality of your own coming death. I was in a hospital once, ER, visiting someone, and a gentleman actually just passed away. And so I'm visiting the family. They were there along with their pastor, a different church. And so as I was there just trying to encourage the family, someone said to me, Greg, would you want to go back into that private room where his body is along with his wife to encourage her? And just out of a sense of, you know, appropriateness, I wasn't the pastor. I said, well, maybe Pastor so-and-so would want to go instead of me. I thought that was the kind thing for me to do. The pastor kind of spoke softly to me. He said, Greg, would you please go? I can't handle being that close to death. And he lost an opportunity to serve Christ because he didn't really have in his mind what the Apostle Paul is going to help us think about this morning. To use a common illustration today, at the risk of stating the obvious, there are Christians who are actively serving Christ and then COVID came. And I got to be careful. I'm good with being cautious. But if my fear of catching COVID takes me away from the very reason that I'm here, which is to serve Christ, I've gotten off track. And again, we can be all different places about caution, being good stewards, keep our hands washed, masks perhaps if you prefer. No problem with that. But it's never appropriate to stop serving Christ. Even as we think about our own physical decline and the more life goes on, our own impending death. You say, Greg, I would like to be the kind of person who would just continue on following Christ, whether I'm healthy, not healthy, whether I'm young, old, whether I'm thinking I'm probably here for a while or I'm knocking on death's door. I want to be that kind of a person. How would I get there? Paul's going to help us this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 16. Paul said, I don't quit. Now he gives the plural pronoun, we do not quit or lose heart. And then notice what he says. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. That'll be our first point, number one. We grow spiritually even as we decay physically. Now notice again, verse 16, he says, our outer man is decaying. Primarily, he's talking about what? Our bodies that are being destroyed, one translation, that are wasting away, another translation. Let's keep it in context, what he's talking about. Maybe you want to look up on your page or scroll up a little bit. Notice verse 7, Paul's talking about earthen vessels. Bodies that are like a clay jar that you drop and they easily crack. Go down to verse 8. He's talking about living life in a world where we're afflicted. And second half of verse 8, we're perplexed. And then verse 9, life in a world where we're sometimes persecuted. And then second half of verse 9, we are struck down. And if you're wondering, why are you using illustrations related to death? Because that's what Paul has on his mind. Notice verse 10. He talks about the dying of Jesus. And then go to verse 11. He talks about being delivered over to death. And then you notice in verse 12, death works in us. Paul lived in the reality that he may soon be facing death. That's the kind of persecution that he faced. And that's certainly a reality for all of us, right? We are going through life, and our outer man, primarily our body, it's decaying. And you could eat healthy, and by the way, I'm all for that. And you could exercise, you could wear seatbelts, I encourage you to do that. You could seek good medical care, take vitamins that are appropriate. You can't stop it. Your clay jar is still going to crack. And it can only handle so many cracks. And then your clay jar is just going to no longer be an earthen vessel. And this life is going to come to an end. And are you okay with that? Or is that something that, as it does many people, cause you to say, no, I'm just filled with anxiety and dread? Or is that the kind of thought that maybe plunges you into depression? Or do you say, no, Greg, I would never be anxious or depressed about it. I just don't think about it. Some people, rather than running to Christ, like we just sang, they run to drugs, they run to alcohol, they numb themselves with social media, television, a hobby, a thousand things, rather than focus on what's true. And what's true is our outer man is decaying. Now, you might be thinking, I know my outer man is decaying. And Greg, I got news for you. I know it better than you, okay? I have aches and pains. I have difficulties and challenges. The only thing I don't get is you said this message was supposed to encourage me. And as of now, it hasn't happened yet. Well, let me see if I can do better. Let's look at the verse one more time. Notice the word though, verse 16. Though our outer man is decaying. It's true. But notice the second phrase in verse 16. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Again, notice how I worded this point. We grow spiritually even as we decay physically. Guys, even going through bad knees and bad elbows or whatever, hips I guess maybe more common, going through the challenges of life, that can't stop you from growing spiritually. In fact, it not only doesn't stop you, it actually helps us to grow spiritually. And we'll see that as we go more through the text. You say, how is it that we grow spiritually? Well, it talks about, notice, that we're growing spiritually in the inner man day by day. It's a progressive process of sanctification. We've covered chapter 3, verse 18. Let's review it real quick. Paul says, we all with unveiled face, that means you know Christ as your Savior. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that's the gospel, that's Jesus. You say, what happens when we behold the gospel? We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. How do we grow spiritually? By focusing on Christ. And you can do that even as your eyes are failing. Maybe you need to get more powerful glasses. Maybe you need to get a large print Bible or turn your font up on your iPad. You can do that even as maybe you need hearing aids in time and you need maybe to turn them up a little louder. Maybe you can't leave to come to worship with the spring in your step like you used to in the past when you were younger. But even as our bodies are decaying, the fact of the matter is our inner man is being renewed as we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this text is saying. It's like putting the song we sing in Christ alone. I have this text, when we come to this verse, this stanza, I always just dwell on it. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry, that's birth, to final breath, that's death. Jesus commands my destiny. No fear. Why would I fear? You say, well, Greg, because again, I'm going through this time of decline, and then that time's going to come where I face death. Yeah. But the whole time, by God's grace, I trust you're growing spiritually. That's what Paul says in this text. We don't quit. We keep following Christ. How? Because we know, though our outer man, verse 16, is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, maybe you're thinking, okay, Greg, I got verse 16. Even as I'm going downhill physically, I could be growing spiritually. That makes sense. But the fact of the matter is, I'm still fearful of that transition. And it's something that really bothers me. You say, what do I do? Well, let's just go to the next verse and see if maybe this will encourage you. Number one, we grow spiritually even as we decay physically. Number two this morning, verse 17. Future glory far exceeds current affliction. Paul writes in verse 17, momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now, the first thing I want to do is I want to point out the word affliction. It may be momentary, it may be light. We're going to talk about that in a second. But it's still affliction. Paul is not trying to get you to think my suffering's not real. Affliction is affliction. The word means to be squeezed. We saw the verb in verse 8. If you go real quick back to verse 8, we are afflicted in every way. Here Paul's using the noun. He's saying, okay, the afflictions of this life are momentary and light. And you might think There is no way anyone with any credibility can tell me that my suffering is light. Let's put that on the back burner for now. Let's go through these words one at a time. Let's first deal with the word momentary. Whatever struggle you're facing this morning, based on the Word of God, I just want to make the point that your struggle is temporary. That's what the word momentary means. It means it's passing. And just in case you're thinking, well, you don't understand, Greg, there is no way my affliction is momentary. Remember, we'll hit light in a second. Can I remind you that life is momentary? Life is temporary. Even if someone says, I have an affliction that's lifelong, so how can it be momentary? I just want to remind us all that this life is so brief. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:6, in this you greatly rejoice. That's the gospel. Even though now, for a little while, what's a little while? It's your life. It's that little dash that you see on a tombstone before somebody's birth date and their death date. A little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. This life is so brief that even if you have a lifelong affliction, difficulty, it's still brief. To put it in a different phraseology, illustration, James puts it in chapter 4, verse 14. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I not only like coffee and enjoy coffee, I actually like my coffee very, very hot. And I'm even here, the ladies are nice in the nursery every Sunday. I probably shouldn't tell you this because now you're going to know it's back there. There's a microwave back there. And I drink coffee in a cup that doesn't have any metal on it so I can stick it in the microwave. And I never get through a whole cup, tumbler, without reheating it. It's just, I like it warm, I like it hot, I like to see the vapor or steam coming off of a cup of coffee. And then the next thing I know, it's cold. The steam is gone. That's your life. It's here, it's quick, it's a vapor. And then what happens? And then it vanishes. So even if we face a lifelong affliction of some kind, trial, Paul is calling that a momentary affliction. Our afflictions are momentary. They will not last any longer than this brief life. Now, I know that's hard to really feel in the moment. And that's one of the reasons why we need to continually be reading our Bibles. That's one of the reasons we need to be coming and listening to sermons or listening at home, because it's easy to get off track and to be thinking in ways that are not proper. Everyday simple illustration for me. I could remember, even though it was long ago, I could remember being in grade school. That's 50 years ago. I could remember how much I hated school. I hated it with the passion. School was keeping me from what I loved. I loved riding my bike. I loved playing baseball. I loved playing football. I would get depressed on Friday afternoons because it would seem like these last 2 hours were never going to end. And I would just look at the clock. And these were the old clocks where every minute was like a definite click. You know, it would go click, click, and that was a minute. And then the next minute, click, click, and I would be like, oh, I can't believe it. Just a minute? I'm never going to get out of this place, you know? And then one of the nuns would say, you know, Mazak, you're looking out the window. And I'm like, well, where do you want me to look? You know? Like, look at the black. Well, who wants to look at a black? I want out, right? I want to play. I want to have fun. Now I look back 50 years later, and I think, wow, that was just a vapor. And beloved, that's what the trials of this life are like. In the moment, it might seem eternal, but they're not eternal. They're actually just for a moment. They're brief. The affliction is what? It's momentary. Notice that second word. It says in verse 17, for a momentary light affliction. Paul says the afflictions are light. I don't know what you're going through today, but whatever it is, based on the authority of Scripture, it is light. I'm not going to put a period. I'm going to continue. In comparison to what is to come. No matter what your struggle is this morning, based on the authority of Scripture, in comparison, it is light. It doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It does mean it may not really be as bad as you think it is because you're focused on it, which is part of the problem. You say, what do you mean by this idea of light and temporary? Maybe an Old Testament example. The Septuagint is the Old Testament in Greek. The same word for light is used in Exodus 18:26. It says, the difficult dispute they would bring to Moses, but every minor dispute they themselves would judge. So whenever there's a disagreement among the children of Israel, and it was more of a minor issue, then there were leaders in the congregation there who would deal with it. Only the really, really weighty big ones got to Moses. It doesn't mean the disputes weren't real. It just means that in relation to other challenges, they were minor. That's the word here that Paul's using. He's saying that momentary light affliction, verse 17, and that's true of all of the affliction that we face. You say, how can it be? Because he's contrasting it with something, okay? The affliction is momentary and light, but notice verse 17, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. The glory is not temporary. The glory is eternal. The glory is not transient. The glory is forever. There is something that is coming in your life if your faith is in Jesus Christ. It's called glory. And it's not passing. It's not like vapor on a cup of coffee. It's something that's not only eternal. Notice the other word that he uses. He calls it an eternal weight of glory. It's something that's heavy. It's something that's a burden. I was moving some furniture yesterday, and I'm so glad to have three son-in-laws that are young, strong, and willing to help. Okay? And so I texted them, and it worked out, and I'm very, very thankful for their kindness to me as the old guy. And here are the three son-in-laws. They show up and they help me to move a piece of furniture. And that's not even true to say they helped me. I guided them, okay? I'm going to say I'm the brains, if I could say that. They're the muscle. And I'm just kind of guiding the best I can, helping to a small degree. And yet I think if I weren't there, it would have moved just as readily, okay? That piece of furniture was a burden to me. That's the word that Paul uses for the glory that's coming. There is a glory that we as God's children will experience that's actually burdensome. A glory that makes the afflictions and trials of this life seem light. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. You say, Greg, what is that glory? It's something we're all going to experience according to Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 18. Paul says, I consider the sufferings of this present time, and they're real, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The sufferings of this present time. Cancer diagnosis? No comparison. Death of a loved one? No comparison. Disease and affliction and disappointment? No comparison to what you are going to experience the moment you see the Lord Jesus Christ and are with Him forever. Careful. You say, I don't believe you would make light of my affliction that way. Well, remember, it's light in comparison. And you only feel that and believe that when you understand how weighty the coming glory is. See, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And that's a glory that's not only all around us, it's a glory that's going to be in us. The two previous verses, 16 and 17, Romans 8. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified. It's not just that we're going to see it and go, wow, but that is going to happen. It's something we're going to experience. We are going to be changed in a moment of time the second you see Christ. You're never going to sin again. Progressive sanctification comes to a stop because glorification has arrived. And it's going to be so incredible, it's going to be so awesome that you're just going to be, wow, this is great. I was talking with one of my daughters. We were just chatting not too long ago about life and difficulties, and somebody had passed away. And the question sometimes comes up, you know, in a marriage couple, if one passes away, would the other one get remarried? And my daughter said, you know, I guess if one of us passed away, it really doesn't matter because that one, because he or she's a believer in Christ, could care less because they would be in heaven. And I was so pleased to hear my daughter say that. I thought, praise the Lord. It's exactly what it's going to be like. The moment you come to know Christ, see Christ, and you're at that place where this life is ended, and eternity, quote-unquote, begins, it's going to be a glory that's not only around us, it's going to be a glory that's within us. This is what we're going to experience if our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can somehow think about that and remember that, it will absolutely radically change how you face the afflictions of this life. Doesn't mean it's not hard, but there's no comparison. Do you see that in the text, verse 17? It says it's far beyond all comparison. How do you compare it? Well, you can't really compare it. How do you illustrate something that there's no comparison? Well, let me see. I know we have some young children in the audience. I know many are in children's church, but for the younger ones, I'm going to show a picture here. You notice it's a picture of a feather. So for some of the children, question, is a feather light or heavy? Heavy. No. Is a feather light or heavy? Light. There we go. A feather is very light. How much does a feather weigh? And the answer is what? Thank you. That's exactly the answer. I have no clue. Okay? Children, let me ask you a second question. Picture of an elephant. Is an elephant light or heavy? Heavy. Thank you. How much does an elephant weigh? And the answer is? I don't know. But one thing I know. Guys, there's no comparison. Now, you get the application. The Apostle Paul says the greatest conflict, trial, difficulty that we are facing in this world right now is like a feather compared to the weighty glory that's awaiting you when you see Jesus Christ, if you're a believer. You say, what will that do? It'll change the way you go through life. It'll remove, or at least temper, that anxiety, that despair that maybe comes upon you as you think about your own decline, and you think about the reality that, yes, death is probably going to be a reality for you too, unless Christ would first come back. You say, okay, Greg, so what do we do until then? Well, we saw in verse 16, we grow spiritually even as we decay physically. In verse 17, the future glory is going to far exceed our current affliction. So here's what we need to do. Notice what Paul says in verse 18. while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to focus on what we can't see. Now, I want to point something out in the text here. Look at your verse 18. There is a verb in my translation translated seen. You'll notice four times. Verse 18, it talks about things which are seen, and then after that, things which are not seen. And then farther in verse 18, it says again, things which are seen, and yet for a fourth time, things which are not seen. But before any of those four verbs, notice what comes at the beginning of verse 18. In mine, it's translated this way, while we look. And the word look is different than the word see. The word look, it has to do with contemplating. It has to do with thinking deeply about. It's the idea that you're focused on something, you're fixing your eyes on something. Paul says in verse 18, we look, we focus on what? Not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. You say, what is he trying to say? The light affliction we now see is temporal. See, we tend to focus on the light affliction. We tend to think, Greg, you don't understand. I got the bad news. I got the diagnosis. I realize this is the beginning of my decline. This is absolutely horrible. And that's what happens, see, when you take off your glasses and you're not really seeing the way Christ wants you to see. And then what happens is we put our spiritual glasses back on. And I say, hey, well, wait a second, Lord. I kind of forgot I don't really want cancer. I'm not making light of cancer. But Lord, I forgot my life is but a vapor, so I guess the cancer can't be any longer than a vapor. Lord, I kind of forgot that. And then as I meditate on elephant weighty glory, I kind of forgot that cancer is kind of like a feather, and yes, I'll put chemo in that as well. You say, but it doesn't feel that way when you're going through it. It doesn't feel that way when you're going through it, which is why we need to be continually reading our Bibles, listening to sermons, and speaking truth kindly and compassionately to one another. See, guys, when my time comes, and my time's coming, it's coming for all of us, when I'm the one who gets the big diagnosis or whatever, and I'm going to be thinking, oh no, I need brothers and sisters in Christ to love me enough to compassionately, gently, and kindly remind me, hey, Greg, remember, brother, the affliction is light. The disease is temporary. This life is a vapor. The gospel is awesome. You're going to be with Christ one day, and it's going to be great. Now, there's an affliction. But in comparison, feathered elephant really doesn't do it justice. But I'll stay with that picture. Paul is making the point that the light affliction that we now see is temporal. You see that verse 18? We look not, we gaze, we focus on, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to focus on the weighty glory of what we will soon see. Let me see if I can maybe make this point. I read this and it really encouraged me. This verse is not about certain things are visible and certain things are invisible. It's not trees, I can see it. Wind, it's invisible. Learn to see the wind. Guys, you can't see the wind. No matter what you do, you can't see the wind. You can see its effect, but you can't see the wind. You say, Greg, what's the point? The contrast is between what you can now see and what you will one day see. But you just can't see it yet. It's like a tree and a tree. It's not like tree and wind. Tree and tree. They're both very real, but we can only see one now. There's coming a day when we'll see the other tree, if that illustration helps. The weighty glory that is to come is real and it's visible. The issue is we just can't see it yet. What do we see? We see suffering, affliction, we feel pain, we experience difficulties. And sad to say, some people not only take off their spiritual glasses, you know people like this, but they set them aside, put them in their desk, and close the drawer. And they're not serving Christ anymore. They quit. And sometimes it seems they maybe even give up their faith. And it's like, wow, are they even followers of Christ? You say, what happened? What happened is they focused on the affliction. They forgot that it's temporary. They didn't embrace that it's light. They quit reading their Bibles regularly. They quit praying with friends regularly. They quit fellowshipping with other believers. And they forgot what is true. That even the deepest trials of this life are light and temporary in comparison to the weighty eternal glory that all of us, by God's grace, if your faith is in Jesus, will experience. And when that becomes a reality, then you understand what Paul is saying in this text. I want to read it in the New Living Translation. We don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen for now. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see now will last forever. And beloved, one day you're going to see them. Here's what I'm hoping this text will be for you. I hope it'll be like going to an optometrist or an ophthalmologist. And here you are, you go through life. It's hard. Maybe you, I don't know, it's, I guess it's a common thing. Many people, their lens in their eye, it's not as clear anymore. And at least sometimes we call that having a cataract, if that's accurate. And I just am not seeing life well. And whatever the challenge is, I go to a physician, a doctor, an ophthalmologist, what have you, and he or she can help me. And then maybe say, hey, really, these glasses would help you to see. And they give you glasses. And then once you have the glasses and it's taken care of, you could see. And it's like, whoa! Have you ever wondered why there's Christians going through trials and they still have joy? It's because they understand the reality of what Paul understood. That this vapor brief of a life is temporal, and even the greatest challenges are not weighty in comparison to the glory that is to come. The glory that will be all around you and the glory that will be in you. And that is true for everyone who has repented of sin and put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, 20 through 21, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. My citizenship is in heaven. And what are we doing? We're looking forward to Christ. And there's coming a time where we're going to be transformed. And the weightiness of the eternal glory will be a reality. That's what we need to focus on. In conclusion, here's the message this morning. Yes, life is hard. The word affliction still means affliction. Paul uses it right there in verse 17. He's not saying, hey, newsflash, the word affliction really doesn't mean affliction. It still hurts. It means to be pressed. It means to be squeezed. But even as following Christ gets hard, you don't stop. Where else are you going to go, right? What did Jesus say to Peter? Hey, all these people left. Peter, are you gone? And Peter says, what? Jesus, I got no place else to go. You have words of eternal life. And he kept following Christ. Life is hard. Don't quit following Christ. Don't quit ministering the gospel to other people, right? Don't focus on the affliction of this life. It's temporary and it's light in comparison to the eternal and weighty glory that every one of God's children will experience. So if you have not put faith in Jesus, you really don't understand the gospel. We were all there at one time. You might say, Greg, this didn't connect with me. I don't understand it. And I still have this incredible fear of one day I'm going to get the diagnosis. I'm going to be facing death. And I am terrified. And I completely understand that. I would feel the same way. But if your faith is in Jesus Christ, then even when you go through the trials of this life, and I think maybe at least one of the biggest, is not the biggest, is thinking of our own mortality in this world and what we're going to face. Stay focused. Feather to elephant. Light to weighty. Temporary to eternal. Stay focused on the gospel. Stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your spiritual glasses on. It's still going to be hard, but by God's grace, you won't quit, because you, like Paul, will say, hey, therefore we don't lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If your faith is in Christ, I hope this will be a reality in your life. If your faith's not in Christ, the invitation's always open. Come to Christ. Turn from your sin and put your faith in Christ. Believe that Jesus is God. He came into this world, suffered and died voluntarily on a cross in your place. And then not only died and was buried, but rose again, ascended into heaven at the Father's right hand, and he did that all so you would be forgiven. If that's not your faith, you could come to Christ even today. And then you would understand the reality that the afflictions of this life are still afflictions. But in comparison to what you will experience, they're temporary, they're light. And by God's grace, they won't even be a memory, as you'll be rejoicing with Christ. Let's pray.